Well, good morning, folks.
It's a blessing to be here with you once again. And of course, we are no strangers to this church. We've been here on and off for quite a number of years, and it is always a blessing to come to Victoria, amen, and escape the frosty weather. We have made a move. I pastored in Leduc for many years, and then we now live in Winkler, Manitoba, so we've gone from a colder place to a much colder place. And yes, you're wondering if I'm really sane or not. I'm wondering the same thing. You know, this thing says dare to be different, but I'm not sure different was the right word for our move to Manitoba. But anyway, that's where God has placed us, and we're thankful to be in a great church. The Pembina Valley Baptist Church is our home church, and what a wonderful pastor and a great, great church. And I'm thankful to be here this morning. And the Capital City Baptist Church, we appreciate your support for us. You've been supporting us now, I think, for about a year and a half or something like that, isn't it, Pastor? Somewhere there. And we appreciate your support. We could not do it. We could not be in the ministry unless there were churches supporting, just like you folks support us. And so we are around 50% of our support now, and we're very thankful for that. And we have just started our traveling really in earnest the last couple of weeks. We were in Ontario for a couple of weeks, and now here. And then we're going to be back in North Dakota. We have a meeting in North Dakota, then into BC and the Kootenays, and then down to Montana, California. And like I tell people, I forget after that because there's too many weeks and I can't figure it all out yet. Thankful for a written calendar, amen. And but we're praising the Lord for traveling mercies. Last year we put on about 55,000 kilometers in just driving, and the Lord kept us safe the whole way. And God is good, amen. Pastor mentioned that we have to thank the Lord for His many, many blessings. And being in church is definitely a blessing, amen. Yes. And I'm thankful for this church. As far as First Bible goes, we are we published one in the Simti language, Thadu language, and we're now raising funds for a language up in Northeast India again called the Vipe language. And so that's one of the projects that we're working on right now, as well as a translation in West Africa for the Dangeo people. Now they're working on the Old Testament right now, and that's a five-year project. And we're excited that that people group will be able to open their Bible to John 3:16 and read John 3:16 in their own language. And that's what it's about, folks, is being able to read the scripture in our own heart language. It's great that we can read it in another language, but it's better if we can read it in our own heart language. Amen. Having said that, turn with me to Romans chapter 10. And we're going to read verse 12. Begin reading in verse 12. Pastors asked me to preach on missions and faith promise, and I'll be doing more on the faith promise in the morning message and the evening message. But if you'd stand with me, if you're able, Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 12. It says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." Aren't you glad that there's no difference? Amen. Mm-hmm. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe that's our next verse. And I'm glad that I called upon the name of the Lord when I was 23 years old, and he saved me and he changed my life. From the day I got saved, I became a new creature. Amen. I became different. Amen. Bible says peculiar. Some would say weird, but Amen. The Lord changes our life the moment we get saved, and it's for whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Pray that you would just bless our time together, and Lord, help me to be clear. Help me to be succinct. Help me to convey the message that you want us to hear this morning. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you that it is sharp and it'll pierce even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And if there's someone not saved this morning that's hearing my voice, I pray that you'd save that soul. Help them to know that they are the whosoever. And if they call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Father, bless our time now, we pray in your name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The Sunday school message is five essentials in missions. Five essentials in missions. So five things that are definitely needful. The basis of missions, if you will. First, what is missions? Simply, missions is telling someone about Jesus Christ. Amen. That brings it down to its simplest, most fundamental thought process. Missions is basically telling someone about Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Stephen Neal says, mission is the intentional crossing of barriers from church to non-church in word and deed for the sake of the proclamation of the gospel. Did you catch what he said here? Intentional crossing of barriers from church to non-church in word and deed for the sake of the proclamation of the gospel. Who here is a missionary? Very good. We're all missionaries, amen? If we take that definition, that's a Bible definition. We all are a missionary, and we are to cross cultural barriers from church to non-church to share the gospel of Christ. So we are missionaries. Robert Reeves says, mission is the sending across cultural barriers by Christ through the church evangelists whose primary function is to make disciples of Jesus Christ by proclaiming the good news about Jesus. That again makes us a missionary, amen? We are all missionaries and we're to cross cultural barriers. Now, when we talk about cultural barriers, it doesn't necessarily mean color or race or tongue. Cultural could be, well, I work with my hands, but now I'm going to cross the cultural barrier and talk to a doctor. You know, they live in a different world, amen? Lawyers live in a different world. Policemen live in a different world. Culturally, they're different than maybe a mechanic, maybe than an electrician, maybe than a carpenter, a woodpecker, I call them, amen? An electrician, a sparky, right? We're crossing cultural different barriers to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, we are all missionaries, but what's the essentials in missions? First, I want to let you know it's the right motivation. The right motivation. Why do we tell someone about Jesus Christ? Why does a missionary go from a place of comfort, a place of the known, to a place of unknown, whether it be to a foreign field or whether it be to a different geographical location? Why would a person do that? They have to have the right motivation. You know, the right motivation is not the sad faces we might see on a DVD presentation. The right motivation might not be because they look poor. The right motivation may not be because the pastor said, I want you to go. Amen? That's not the right motivation. And really, the right motivation is not necessarily the salvation of a soul. That's a good motivation, but maybe not the right motivation. Let me submit to you, the right motivation is the glory of God. The glory of God. Why do we go and tell someone about Jesus Christ? It is for the glory of God. It's because we want to give glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. Someone said missions exist because worship doesn't. Worship is the ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate, not man. See, if we go because of the sad faces, if we go because they look poor, we go because the pastor said so, that's really man motivated, amen? That puts man at the center of the motivation rather than God. But when we go because it is for the glory of God, because God is worthy to be praised, because if someone gets saved, that's another voice lifting up the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in praise and adoration. You know, in the end times, if you will, when we all get to heaven, there is going to be a multitude of people praising and worshiping God. And the more people, the louder the voice, amen? The louder the noise, the louder the worship, the more glory our God gets. In Revelation 7:9, it says, and after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. That's what it's all about, amen? Bringing glory and honor to our God. Verse 12 says, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Why is God worthy of all that? Well, wasn't Jesus made to be sin, who knew no sin, that he might be made, that we might be made the righteousness of God? Isn't he worthy of a praise because we are clothed in his righteousness? The Bible says we're seated in the heavenly places. The Bible says all our sin has been forgiven because of the person of Jesus Christ. Isn't he worthy of our praise and our glory? And so isn't Joe or Mary or Henry down the street, shouldn't they be praising God too? Shouldn't there be peoples across this world praising God for the same reason that we praise our God? Amen. He's worthy. And the right motivation for missions is the glory of God. Isaiah says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. The right motivation for missions is the glory of God. Someone said the goal of missions is the gladness of the peoples and the greatness of God. Let me ask this. Fellas, isn't your wife worthy of the glory you can bring her? Amen. The praise that you bring her for all that she does for you? Amen. So let me ask this, Brother Steve. What if on your anniversary you brought your wife some beautiful flowers and said, here, honey, these are for you. And your wife says, oh, honey, what a blessing that is. They're so pretty. I'm so thankful that you brought them to me. And you said, it was my duty to do. Where would you spend the rest of that day and maybe the rest of the week in the doghouse. Amen. You know, if our motivation for missions is because it is our duty to do, that's not love. Paul says the love of Christ constraineth us. Amen. Because he is worthy of praise, because he's worthy of glory, because he's worthy of honor. It's not just our duty to hand out a gospel tract. It should be our delight. Amen. The right motivations of missions is to bring him glory, to bring him praise, to bring him honor. And the more people that get saved, the more praise he gets. Psalms 96:1 says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song." You got a new song in your heart because of what Christ has done for you? "Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols." Amen. "But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth." The right motivation for missions. Could I say the right motivation for anything we do in life? It's the glory of God. It's the glory of our great God. That's the right motivation. The heart of mission flows in this amazing economy of glory. God reveals his glory to all nations in order to receive glory from all creation. The right motivation for missions is the glory of God. That's the first essential. The second is the written message. The written message. Verse 17 of Romans chapter 10 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what, folks? The word of God." The next essential in missions is the very word of God. And I got to hurry. I got 10 minutes for four points. So you're going to have to listen real fast now. Amen. The word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You cannot be saved unless you hear the word of God. Amen. You cannot. Two essentials in salvation is the Word of God and the Spirit of God. If there is one of those things missing, if you will, you cannot be saved. That's the reality of being birthed into the family of God, is the Holy Spirit of God takes the Word of God and births us into the family of God. Not by corruptible seed, but by incorruptible. Amen? And so the essential is the very Word of God. By the way, that's why my wife and I do what we do, because we understand that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. People need to have the Word of God presented to them. That is essential. 1 Peter 1:23. I kind of quoted part of that. It says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." The word brings life. John 6:63, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life." Life. This is an unusual book, amen. This book brings life. This book births us into the family of God. This book converts the soul. Psalms 19, verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The word of God transforms man. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Folks, the essential, second essential of missions is the word of God. In fact, in the Great Commission, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. What are we teaching them? Teaching them how to grow nicer plants, grow vegetables, build buildings. Is that what we're to go into all the world and teach them about? No, we're to teach them about Jesus Christ revealed in this book. And unless we have this book to teach about Jesus, we can't teach it. It's just opinion then, amen? It just becomes opinion. Truth comes from this book. And so we have to give him this book. And then verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And those things are written in this book. So the second essential is the written word. Third essential is ready mobilization. In Romans 10:15, it says, how shall they preach except they be sent? Now, I went to Wikipedia, and Wikipedia is the authority on everything, right? Amen? Oh, me! But Wikipedia gave me this definition of mobilization, and I thought it was really accurate for the church, if you will. Wikipedia said mobilization is the act of assembling and readying military troops and supplies for war. Isn't that the church? Amen? That's the church. The church is to assemble and ready the troops for an act of war. Aren't we in war? Amen? We are in a war. We are in a battleground. The devil is fighting against the church, against the church of the living God. And so the church is the one that is the sending agent for missionaries. Pastor, his goal is to disciple you so that you can go into this community and you can reach the world, this community, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? That is his mandate, is to teach you how to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and then to make you effective to go into the neighborhood to do mission work. Well, that's the church's job. The church is to send missionaries into all this world. The church is to disciple. The church is to send. Acts chapter 13. Look with me. We see this principle here. Acts 13, verse 1. It says, now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereinto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Who sent them away? The church. The church is the sending agent for all mission work. And they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. So here we see the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, working in the church of God to separate certain people for a certain labor of love, amen, to go into this world and go forth. See, it's the church is the sending agent of all mission work, amen. It is not a parachurch organization. It is the local New Testament church is the sending agent for all mission work. When you go out into the neighborhood, you are representing the Lord Jesus Christ, but you're also representing Capital City Baptist Church. Amen? the church is the sending agent. Now, the church not only is to send forth laborers, the church is not just to disciple, but the church is to pray. That is your job, is to pray for missions, for missionaries, for mission work. That is the job of the church. Pray for a door of utterance. Pray for laborers. 1 Corinthians 16:9 says, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." Remember when Peter was in prison, what did the church do? Have a fellowship? No, have a potluck? No, they got together and they prayed. That is the job of the church. The church is the sending agent. They are to mobilize missionaries. That's the third essential. The fourth is received money. Could I say this? Part of the sending of a missionary is providing for them. Amen? It's making sure that they have what they need. It's one thing to say, okay, Steve, I want you to go, and I want you to go with your wife, and I want you to go to, let's say, deepest, darkest Africa, Zimbabwe. Be warmed and filled, brother. Have fun. We'll pray for you, right? That's not doing the job, amen? So when a missionary is sent forth, we have to make sure they have what they need. They have the money they need. They have the equipment they need. They have to have all the materials they need. Maybe it's gospel tracts. Maybe it's John and Romans. Maybe it's Bible study material. Maybe it's Bibles. Whatever that missionary needs, it is the church's responsibility to send them forth with that. Amen? We can't just say, be you warm, Phil, or Steve, and your wife, and have fun over there in Zimbabwe. Enjoy the time. No, we need to, when we send forth a missionary, we need to provide for the missionary. And then the last thought for you this morning is resolute men. Look with me in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. Romans 10, 14. It says here, how then, Paul asks a number of questions, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Good question, amen. How? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? So Paul asks four questions, each time beginning with the word how. In other words, he's saying it is impossible for them to hear. It's impossible for them to believe without a preacher, except they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I submit to you, the last essential is resolute men and women. Men and women that say, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. Just available. Doesn't mean we have to be talented. Doesn't mean we have to be good looking. Amen? It just means we have to be a volunteer. Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, God asked that question, who shall go? Who can I send? And Isaiah said, I'm a volunteer. I'm a volunteer. Do you remember in the book of Ezekiel? God says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. God said, I'm looking for a man, I'm looking for a woman that stand in the gap to make up that hedge, to pray, to go forth. You know the saddest commentary on that? In that verse, but I found none. I found none. No one would stand up and say, here I am, Lord, I'll stand in that gap. I'll make sure that you don't destroy the land. There was no Moses, there was no Isaiah in that day. No one stood up. Available. David Brainerd said, "Here I am, send me. Send me to the ends of the earth. Send me to the rough, the savage pagans of the wilderness. Send me from all that is called comfort on earth. Send me even to death itself, if it be but in thy service and to promote thy kingdom." He said, "Send me." Over 6,000 people groups in this world with no missionary, no message, can I say, and no hope. The essential in missions is resolute men and women that just say, "Here I am." Dare to be different. It's not looking for talent. Because if he did, I wouldn't be here. He's not looking for good looks. He's not looking for someone with a lot of wealth. He's just looking for someone that says, "Here I am. I'll go. I'll tell someone about Jesus. I'll go to the far reaches of this earth. I'll be a volunteer." Norm Lewis said, "You would believe in pioneer missions if your family were part of an unevangelized people group." God is looking for spirit-filled men and women to just say, "I'm available. I'll go. I'll be the one." C.H. Spurgeon said this, "If sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, at least let it be filled with the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go there unwarned and unprayed for." Five essentials in missions, the right motivation. I spent most time on that because we have to have the right motivation. The written message, we have to have the written message. We have to have ready mobilization. The church is the one that is the sending agent. The church must be doing its job, amen? Then receive money. And I say receive money for all kinds of goods that we need to go. We need to make sure that the missionary has what they need to do the job that the church sends them for. And then lastly, we need just men and women that would say, "Here I am." I'll finish with this and I'm done. I think I may have mentioned this last time I was here, but when I was called to preach, a missionary pastor said this. He said, "What reason do you have to not be a missionary?" What he was saying is, "Are you available? Will you just say, 'Here I am, send me'?" And I asked that this morning in the Sunday school class, what reason do you have to not be a missionary? That's a good question, isn't it? "But I have a job." Really? Will that hold up? "But I have family here." Okay. Will that hold up before God? Now I know God doesn't call everyone to go to a foreign field. But are you available? Would you just say, "Here I am. Send me. If you want me to go, I'll go." Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Pastor?
Pray together. Dear Father in heaven, we want to thank you so much that you were willing to send your only begotten Son, Lord, so that we may live. Dear Lord, I pray it stir our hearts this morning, Lord, with the right motivation, with the willingness to go, the willingness to give, Lord, to sacrifice whatever necessary, Lord, so that others could have that same hope in Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for this good message, this teaching from your word today, and we pray you bless our morning service to come in Jesus' name.